Feng Dong versus John Ashcroft.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court? My name is Alexander Yu. I'm the attorney for Feng Dong. The case before us, the standard of review should be the analysis of the IJ's decision, because the Board of Immigration Appeals summarily affirmed his decision. And the issue before us is whether the administrative finding of facts were in error, which would compel any reasonable adjudicator to conclude to the contrary. The judge in this case never made a express or clear credibility finding about the alien. Judge's decision is not supported by substantial evidence in the record. The judge alleged impossibilities and a few other what he called difficulties with the petitioner's claim. The implausibility that the IJ found in this case is on the fact that the family planning officials would walk the distance to her home.
Well, could I just say, I mean, one of the points you make is that, or that you just said, and you say this in your brief too, that the IJ did not make a credibility finding, but it, reading the opinion as a whole, it looks to me like he really did. You know, at the top of, I think this is page 37 of the appendix attached to your brief, he says, the court finds it difficult to believe the respondent's accounts relating to events central to the respondent's claim. The respondent's testimony concerning forced abortion performed on her is not plausible. Well, if that's not a credibility finding, it's hard for me to know how to describe it. Now, the reasons he finds it not plausible, that people wouldn't walk to her house and so on, may be themselves reasons that have no basis in the record or that are, you know, just kind of coming out of thin air. Four village officials in a small Chinese town walking 25 minutes doesn't seem like a huge thing to me, but and one wonders where this comes from in the record. But it does look like a credibility finding to me.
What the judge cited is implausibility, and implausibility goes the way of the evidence and not on credibility. There was nothing that the IJ cited regarding to any evidence submitted by the alien. Just the fact that he does not believe that the village officials walked the distance. So this is not a matter of evidence.
Was there any other evidence in the record about the distance that they walked other than this? I mean, he obviously seems to accept the idea of 20 to 25 minutes. He just doesn't think they would have done it.
There's no evidence to prove the actual distance.
Okay, so nobody knows, you know, if it's a mile away, which is what it sounds like, you know, or maybe a little less or different. Now, why should we care about whether the minimum age for marriage for women is 20 or if it's 22 if she was 19?
The issue is not the age as the judge thought it would be. The issue is that she became pregnant without getting married first. At the time when she became pregnant, she was not even 19 years old. So whether she should be 20 or 22.
Or 30, I take it. I mean, somebody who becomes pregnant outside of wedlock would have the same treatment.
It would not matter. The issue is that you first have to register a marriage and then apply for a birth permit. In this case, she did neither. So she became pregnant first, and then the government find out. So that's not the issue, whether 20 or 22 is a proper age. What the IJ found with the other issues were what the judge thought was difficulties. For instance, he cited six factors. None of those factors independently would support the substantial evidence analysis. For example, in how she entered the country. She did use a fraudulent green card, and she admitted that. But under the matter of Paula, that she only go into the discretionary factors rather than the claim itself. She did not submit a false document in her case. She did not put in false statement in her asylum applications. So that is what the matter OD stands for. The other factors just cited about whether she applied for asylum at the airport. She claimed that she was not familiar with the law of this country. The judge cited that she did not apply within 1 year. There's something beyond her control. When she was scheduled for the hearing, the first hearing, actual hearing she appeared before the judge was more than 1 year because of the change of venue from New York to Chicago.
But that's why you're not pursuing the asylum claim directly. You're just because you can't. I mean, you're
yes. The only claim you're going after is a withholding claim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As far as the other two factors the judge cited about the supporting documents, and also affidavit from her mother, and also one more that she had lived in China for 4 more years, she testified credibly with sufficient detail. And her account of her past persecution was clearly established.
But there's no, she doesn't have anything from anyone else to verify that this forced abortion took place, does she? It's really her word for it.
Exactly, exactly. And the government in their brief will cite that the country report will say that there are many places in Fujian province where people use fraudulent documents. But on the other hand, this is what the IJ said also, but if you were presented an abortion certificate, in this case, she could not. She did not work for a work unit. She wouldn't be able to produce any proof of her abortion. As far as whether she had remained in China for 4 more years, that does not diminish the claim that she has suffered past persecution. And under the amended definition of refugee in Section 601A in IRR, this would cover her situation because she has suffered past persecution in the form of involuntary abortion. And also under the case XPT, that she should be entitled to a grant of withholding because she has suffered past persecution.
For withholding, though, it's not the same standard as for granting asylum, just the past persecution and the shifts of burden of proof. You actually have to show a higher standard, don't you?
That's correct.
So how do you surmount that extra burden, the likelihood of future persecution?
But the language itself for the definition of refugee, 101A42 of the Immigration Nationality Act, would cover that she would be eligible for withholding of deportation as well as asylum. So by definition, she would be eligible for this withholding.
So your position is that as soon as she's shown, if we knew beyond any doubt, and the IJ actually says this himself, that she had had the forced abortion, that she is eligible for withholding of removal.
Not per se by that definition, because that does not satisfy the higher burden.
Well, I thought that's what the IJ, I mean, you know, you don't need to give up anything that's good for you. I thought the IJ himself said, if I were convinced that this event had happened, then I would grant relief. He says that someplace in his opinion.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to find out what the difference in the standards is, in your view, between withholding of removal and the basic asylum claim that she's too late for. Clear probability of persecution in the country designated. And so the question is one past forced abortion enough to show clear probability of persecution in China?
The clear probability is that the burn has to be 50 or more percent.
Right, but what's going to happen to her in the future? She's a young woman still.
She has, since the hearing, has given birth to a child here in this country, and her marital status currently is also a single woman.
Okay.
So that would help her to meet that burn.
Okay. That's
okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Allison Ho, and I represent the United States. As the petitioner correctly states, the sole issue before the court in this appeal is whether substantial evidence in the record supports the immigration judge's adverse credibility determination here. This court will disturb that fact-bound determination only if the record evidence is so compelling that a reasonable fact finder would be required to reach a contrary conclusion.
But I'll tell you what's a little disturbing. There's an aura of extra record evidence here on page, it's page 37 of the appendix. There's so many different page numbers here. I'm not sure which number to use, but that's where it appears, where the judge decides that her account isn't plausible just because he doesn't think people are going to walk in a Chinese village. And I don't know where he gets that from. I don't know where he has testimony about customary walking practices or practices of village officials taking somebody who they want to get her to the hospital. I mean, that's the explanation she gives. And it's not enough to know if she's pregnant, because you're not going to do an abortion right there in her house. They need to get her back into the facility. But the judge sort of pulls out of his hat his assumption that four village officials wouldn't bother, as he puts it, to come all the way to the respondent's house on foot. Does he know how many people have cars in this village? Does he know whether they have bicycles? Does he know whether they travel on foot? Do people typically walk 20 to 25 minutes? I mean, his reason, in short, for rejecting her credibility seems very flimsy.
I see Your Honor's difficulty with that. I'll say two things in response. The first is that I believe the immigration judge was focused not so much on the time factor here or the walking, but that four village officials would make the journey on foot to petitioner's home as part of a routine medical check.
But what's the context in which he makes that judgment? Had there been any testimony about what the normal procedures were when someone is going for an abortion, or when the village, when the officials want some procedure to take place? That's the problem. There's no context, at least that I can see, to put that in, you know, where he understands what the culture is there or the procedures. Was there anything in the record on that?
I believe that the immigration judge, based with respect to the time, the 20 to 25 minutes, based that on petitioner's testimony concerning the differences involved and how long it took them to walk.
But the question is, why does he think, if you want to focus on the fact that it's four officials instead of the time, what evidentiary basis is there to say that this isn't plausible? Normally, when a credibility determination is made, you're going to have some evidentiary basis. I don't know if this judge has ever spent time in Chinese villages and knows what the governing structure is and knows how the child policy laws are implemented, or whether there was perhaps documentary evidence in the record that these are the typically in Fujian province. I mean, I could imagine evidence that would tell you whether four officials would become involved in such a matter. Even her story suggests that once she went to the hospital 2 weeks before and found out she was pregnant, that there was a way that they could have known that a problem existed from their standpoint.
Certainly, Your Honor, but under the highly deferential substantial evidence standard.
But substantial evidence, that's the word I want. It's not highly you know, I could sit down and write you a whole article about village life in Nepal, and you should throw it in the wastebasket. I mean, I don't know the first thing about village life in Nepal, and so I could write a nice long opinion, but no one should defer to me on that, and I don't know without evidence why this immigration judge's impression of whether four officials would be involved or not. What's the grounding?
Even if the court were not to accept that basis for
you're admitting there's no factual support for his conclusion. There's nothing in the record that supports his conclusion.
Well, there is petitioner's own testimony that the four village
officials, and so what is it that he's relying on in her testimony that supports his conclusion that four officials wouldn't come?
I believe he's relying on her testimony as to what happened, and also relying on the fact that she was not able to explain why four village officials would have come. She didn't claim that was routine.
Did he ask her?
I believe he did ask her why four village officials would.
Why would that even be within the scope of her knowledge?
I think perhaps the immigration judge was trying to find out whether that was routine in this part of China or not.
And when she couldn't provide an explanation, then he just came up with an explanation.
Well, again, we think that the immigration judge's decision not to credit petitioner's account that the four village officials would walk all the way to her house for the purposes of a routine medical check.
But of course that's not what her testimony is that the purpose was for. It was for the purpose of enforcing the child control policy, and the State Department reports themselves indicate that this is a policy that China is still following, that it is something that is at least the subject of very strong persuasion and sometimes still worse. So we have evidence that
and why
this is a policy they care about, I suppose.
And Your Honor brings up the State Department's profile of China, which was an additional ground, an additional reason that the immigration judge stated. I return to one of the questions that Your Honor directed to petitioner, which was, what difference does the age discrepancy matter? What difference does that make? I think the difference that it makes is that petitioner testified that the minimum age for both men and women was about 22. She also testified that she and presumably her boyfriend had tried to obtain a marriage license.
Even though she was 19, that was my point about this, because unless he's really criticizing her for not being an expert on Chinese law, I'm not sure if she's 19, she doesn't qualify under either version of the law. The 2022 version, you know, female and male, or the 2222 version, female, male. She's still too young. So she's
correct.
Not going to get the license. And I don't know, maybe he can criticize her for not being fully informed on Chinese law, but it seems somewhat beside the point.
Well, I think the other reason cited by the immigration judge, also found in the State Department's profile of China, was, and this appears on page 229 of the administrative record in the country profile, that the U.S. Consulate General was not aware of any forced abortions of illegitimate children or couples with an early marriage. Now, to be sure, the profile doesn't, as it can't definitively.
And that was generally speaking in China, or was it speaking in the province?
Of the province, Fujian province, her province itself. And to be sure, the profile doesn't rule out that possibility, and the immigration judge didn't use it to that effect. But that doesn't change the fact that the profile itself provides substantial evidence for the immigration judge's decision in this case not to credit petitioner's account of her forced abortion. The immigration judge also relied on several other reasons that he lists. In the totality of the evidence as a whole, the immigration judge relied on the misrepresentations that petitioner made to immigration officials upon arrival in the United States. The immigration judge also relied on the fact that petitioner did not immigrate to the United States for 4 years.
But why does that mean anything? I mean, unless he thinks it sort of has to be a forced abortion per year, the statute suggests that one is enough. you have been persecuted if you've had a forced abortion, and as long as she didn't get pregnant again in those 4 years, she was safe. I suppose if she never has a child the rest of her life, although I guess that's not going to happen, but the Chinese authorities would have been just as happy for her to remain barren.
I see your point, Your Honor. I believe that the immigration judge looked at the four-year discrepancy.
But I'm asking, why is that something? It's like our cases where somebody goes into hiding for 4 years, and yes, they aren't killed, but in this instance, she has the forced abortion. That means she has been subjected to past persecution. Now, you might address whether something more is needed for withholding of removal than one instance of past persecution, but it seems to me that's the only thing, which the immigration judge says nothing about. I don't get any help in terms of these different standards from his opinion.
Because the immigration judge found that her testimony was not credible, he didn't reach the question whether she would be entitled to withholding, which is... May I go,
please?
Which is a higher standard. It's a clear probability, not just a well-founded fear, as the statute states. So even if this court were to decide that this is the extraordinary case where the immigration judge's adverse credibility finding was not supported by cogent specific reasons that bore a legitimate nexus to that finding, the proper course would be to vacate and remand for the immigration judge to make the withholding determination in the first instance.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and move to the last case today.